You're listening to the Teach Better Talk podcast, featuring expert educators eager to share progressive tactics to reach more students. Teach Better Talk is created by teachers and fueled by passion. Let's get started.
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 73 of Teach Better Talk. I'm Ray Heward, and as always, I'm with the indefatigable Jeff Gargas.
Indefatigable?
Say that five times fast.
No kidding. That's a good one, though. Where did that come from?
That was a word submitted by Michael Berger, and he said, Jeff is truly relentless, unwavering, and committed to the task at hand. And he has some great vocabulary right there.
Wow. Well, thanks, Mike. That's awesome. What's the Twitter? What's his handle? Let's give him a shout out.
You know what? He reached out on Facebook, so you'll have to look him up there. I have a feeling that he follows us on other social media platforms as well, but he was a Facebook person.
Awesome. Well, big shout out. Appreciate that. I don't know if I've necessarily ever heard that word used before.
You know, I am continuously improving my vocabulary. That was a new one for me. I think we took about 9 takes of me trying to pronounce that word.
I was just going to say, should we tell everyone how many tries it took for you to say it?
It's not an easy word. I challenge everybody to record themselves. Please record yourself saying that word and send it to me so I can laugh as I just struggled for the past 15 minutes.
Ray, I'm so proud of you right now.
Thanks, boss.
That was a really tough thing. So let me that was something that I would think you could have very easily been like, you know what? This isn't happening. This is too hard. I'm not going to do it. But
you're using this as a teachable moment right
now. I'm using this as a teachable moment because we actually talk about it a little bit with Hans later too. And so I just think it makes sense. So I hope you're okay with I'm going to take it this way. But that was a time where you could have very easily used that as an excuse, be like, I'm not going to do this. And then Michael would have never had his word used. And a whole bunch of people probably would have never heard that word for the first time ever. But so I love that we did it again and again and again. Obviously, we know I can edit that stuff out, even though it will be at the end of this podcast. So listen all the way through.
No.
But what I'm saying is I love that. And the teachable moment is you didn't let it be an excuse. You didn't let that hurdle stop you from doing it. And there's a moment in this episode with Hans that we touch on that. And I loved it. And I hope if you're listening right now and you're thinking about something that you've been trying to do, something you've wanted to do, maybe something that you've already failed at doing, but you know is the right thing to do either for yourself, for your family, for a friend, or for your students, or for your community, that you're not going to let excuses like saying a very difficult word or whatever much more legit excuse you might have stop you. Because we talk about in this episode about something that they do in his school for their kids that they don't let rain or thunder or snow or anything like that stop them from doing it. It's such an important piece. And Ray, I just appreciate the fact that you recognize how important it is for you to have a great word to introduce me with. And
you know,
you didn't
Jeff,
let that excuse stop you.
Yeah, if you're going to call me out and congratulate me, I'm going to embarrass you in front of all of our listeners. Do you have anything that you've done or not done recently that you'd like to admit while we're recording that you've let stop you, but you're maybe now, after this episode, inspired to rejuvenate you and make a better choice?
I 1,000% did not see that coming back at me. Like that. I did not work out this morning, right? I accepted about, I don't know if it was 13 different excuses that are nothing but BS. I couldn't even remember them right now. But I did not work out this morning and I hate it.
So what are you going to do after we record?
I'm probably going to go work out.
I'm so proud of you. I'm going to sit down and probably eat pizza, but you should go work out.
Yeah, so I'm actually in a contest right now with my mom. So shout out to mom, who I don't think listens. But if you're listening right now, mom, love you. But we are both trying to lose just a little bit of weight. Not much, just a little bit. And we have a kind of going back. And on Sundays is when we text each other and say, hey, here's where I'm at for the week. Are we up or down? She's down 2 pounds already. It's just a weekend, which is awesome. I'm only down 1, but probably after not working out today and eating at my mother-in-law's house, who's a phenomenal cook, I'm probably up like another 15. So very important that I get back on track and don't let these excuses stop me anymore. You know, just like trying to say that word that I won't even try to say because it's so hard.
I think you nailed it a few times before got it. We just don't, I'm not sure that we had that recorded. So, Jeff, while I'm giving you a little bit of pushback for not having worked out today, you continuously push those around you to be better. And so this is just the one moment I could pick on you while with all the world listening.
Well, thanks, Rake. Let's talk about the episode.
Let's do
so
that.
So this was a really cool episode because today, right now, you listening right now, it's possibly further into June, whatever. But right now, today, when we record this, is Memorial Day. Which one, Ray, I just want to thank you for being so awesome that we still recorded this. Because you know what? Teach Better Talk doesn't stop.
Doesn't stop.
We keep going. And a big shout out to Hans for coming on a holiday and recording with us an awesome episode. And it was really cool because he just found out that he's coming here to Ohio in November for the Teach Better Conference. So it's kind of really fun because we got to sort of celebrate that with him on there and talk about the conference a little bit. And we're really excited to have him out. And then I tell you what, when we got done with this episode, we both said, I'm sure glad we brought him out to the conference because he was awesome. This was a great episode.
He was awesome.
Super excited about it. So real quick, Hans is actually a counselor at Enterprise Middle School and has been there since they opened. He's been a counselor for 19 years. And I love it. He says he used to see himself as a counselor who worked in education. Now he sees himself as a educator who also counsels and works as a counselor. And the school's doing some amazing things. He talks through sort of where they went and how they kind of lost that culture and where they built it bad. This guy is super, super passionate about their school culture, and it shows in everything that they do. He's big on servant leadership, which I love. And they have a message of the award-winning culture that they really, really push through his speaking, through his blogging, through a podcast that he talks about with his students, and just talk so much about amplifying his students' voices and amplifying and doing those little things to what he says is flip a student's day or flip a colleague's day and stuff. And I think there's just so much value in this episode. Ray, can you give us like one takeaway that you have that you want to make sure everyone takes away from this episode?
Okay, there's no way I could highlight one. There was so many. This was a great, great, great episode. You have to keep listening. So many takeaways, so many challenges. I hope that you guys choose when you hear us really throw something at you that you choose to take hold and take on that challenge. But obviously, for anyone who knows me, you know that I loved the puppy shout out at the end. So root root to Maya, and you're going to have to listen to hear about what, you know, how his dog gets a shout out because that's cool.
I love it. His dog does get a shout out. And yes, there's a challenge in there that you absolutely need to take. We are going to be looking for it. We hope to see it all out there. Loving it. This was a fantastic episode. We're going to get right into it. Number 73 with Hans Apple. All right. And we are here. We are talking with Hans Apple. And Hans, we are super excited to bring you on. Today is like even extra special because today the world found out that you're coming to the Teach Better Conference in November. You started putting it out on your social media, and a whole bunch of people are super excited, and we are definitely excited to have you at the conference, but also for right now to have you on this podcast. So first off, man, thanks for taking some time out of your day. It's actually Memorial Day, so like it's a holiday, and we're still on here. That's how much we love it, and we're so happy that you're able to come on with us too. So we appreciate that, man. How are you feeling right now?
Dude, I'm feeling awesome, Jeff. I am so excited. I'm fired up to be here talking to you guys. Huge fans of the show and of the work and content you guys are doing, and absolutely stoked to be coming to see you guys in November. We'll be presenting.
Hans, we were so excited when we heard that you were going to be recording with us today. I'm always excited to see who we're recording with. When your name popped up, I was like, no way, we actually get to connect with him.
It's exciting.
I know. I feel like we've taken our friendship to like a new level.
Yeah. Awesome.
Well, Hans, I want to make sure that our listeners also get to learn about you. So we're going to shift it to you. And I want to know how you describe everything that you do in education. When somebody walks up to you and asks you what you do, what's your typical response?
Well, I used to say I was a counselor working in education. And I would say over the last maybe 5 or 6 years, I've kind of flipped that to say I'm an educator working as a counselor. So I guess for me, I believe education at its highest level is about helping others find their joy. And I think, you know, I'm an educator trying to inspire others to develop their joy. So when I say others, I mean students, staff, you know, really anybody I come into contact with. I think, you know, at its best, you know, what we're trying to do each day in school has to do with relationships, positive school culture, leadership. You know, my I guess, quick background is I grew up in kind of a challenging situation. I was a pretty abusive home. And so growing up, school was kind of my safe haven where I would go and could just be a kid. And so, you know, when I knew I wanted to become an educator and started going down that career path, you know, I figured it's essential to be, you know, doing everything I can do every single day to create an exceptional school culture. And so, you know, I see myself as an educator in all the best parts of the word.
That's awesome. I love that you are working to help others find their joy. In regard to this, so your position is a counselor. So is that, are you, what's your day to day? Are you in classrooms a lot? Are you more with people coming and seeing you? What's your interaction with students and with teachers and stuff? What kind of, take us through, like, what's a typical day? I'm sure it's not very typical, but if there were such a thing.
Yeah. Just like you said, Jeff, it's not typical. every day is unique and different. There's definitely times where I'm in my office talking with kids, you know, one-on-one. There's times where I'm working with groups. There's times where I'm in a classroom setting, you know, variety of different things. I lead a bunch of different programs and things that I'm sure we'll get into as we talk here. But yeah, there is no typical day. And I think that's what I really love about it. You know, I know that I have the power to flip people's day just with a quick interaction in the hallway, you know, or just, you know, doing something kind for, you know, a colleague or staff member. You know, that's what I love, is finding those little ways to, you know, bring my passions, you know, to support other people.
I love it. You talk about flipping someone's day and making it brighter, and, you know, coming from the back, I really appreciate the fact that you shared that about your background, but the level of which you understand how that little bit of a flip on someone's day can mean so much to someone who's coming from a tough home life, or maybe just having a rough day, or whatever it is. Those little things can be massive in someone else's eyes. So that's awesome. I love it. So, you know, one thing we always talk about on this podcast is failure. Anyone who knows me knows that I've failed a whole bunch of times, but I always talk about how everything that I've failed at and all the mistakes I've made lead me and have led me to where I am. So therefore, I'm thankful for all of that. So we love to talk about it. I love to hear the story. So can you take us to a time that you've had a failure? Tell us what it was that happened. Why was it a failure to you? How did you overcome that? And then what did you learn from that?
Yeah. So, I mean, gosh, you talk about failures. I feel like I've had so many to choose from here. So I'll choose one that I haven't really shared before. So years ago, we pretty much considered our school under the slogan or theme, "It's great to be a Wildcat." We're the Enterprise Middle School Wildcats. And we told everybody it's great to be a Wildcat. We put that on t-shirts and, you know, made that our thing. And the truth was, it wasn't so great always to be a Wildcat. We had a lot of bullying and harassment issues. There were classroom behavior issues. I would say we were a very reactive school, my first few years in education. And we were putting out fires in classrooms, in the counseling office, in the lunchroom, kind of wherever. And one spring, we kind of hit rock bottom, where within a very short period of time, we had a couple different fights. And then we had a really scary situation happen in a seventh grade science classroom. So there was two kids that were having a disagreement. And the seventh grade boy ended up going after the other student, who was a seventh grade girl, and choking her and getting on top of her and, like, you know, like full on assault. And it's a really scary, violent situation. It ended up taking a teacher and another student to pull him off of her. He just absolutely lost his mind in that moment. And afterwards, she was traumatized. He was expelled. I would say our school culture was completely broken. And I had to go in and kind of speak to the class and just sort of, I don't know, kind of help everybody debrief. And we talked about school safety a little bit and harassment and bullying. And it was really, really rough. And I would say the rest of that spring, you know, I found myself, along with the other counselor and principals, in meetings with parents who were unhappy with how our school was proactively preventing problems, essentially. And I remember feeling really dejected and disappointed in myself and just our school community for not kind of fostering the school culture that the students, families, and communities really deserved. And that's when we sort of began to make this pivot towards becoming proactive with school culture and looking into social emotional learning programs, PBIS programs, really, you know, what we could all do on a daily basis to make Enterprise an amazing place. And so, you know, as I kind of fast forward to things I learned during that time in my career, it was, you know, branding is, you know, we talk a lot about themes versus brands, but branding is what people say about you when you're not around. And I think at that point, you know, in our school, I think people weren't saying such nice things about Enterprise. And, you know, I really learned that, you know, your school brand has to go beyond mascots and logos and be rooted in authenticity. And so I think that kind of set me and our whole school on a path towards creating this award-winning culture.
Hey everyone, we're going to get right back to the episode. However, I do want to mention that our Teach Better conference is underway and you can start registering, but I might have a little discount code for you. So as you head over to teachbetterconference.com and sign up for the amazing event that we are having November 8th and 9th, make sure you use Podcast Talk as your $50 discount code. Now let's get back to the episode.
Man, I love, I wish every marketer and business owner in the world would have listened to the last, I hope they listened to this episode because there's a lot, I always talk, you know, Chad and I joke a lot about all the times that I see like this crossover between that, like where businesses could learn from educators in the classrooms and stuff. And everything you just said about brand is so true because businesses need to learn that. But more specifically on schools too, like that's such a big piece. And I feel like some schools, you know, don't necessarily realize that you really need to work on the image and the authenticity. I love how you put that. It's rooted in authenticity so that you're paying attention to and helping to adjust what people are saying to you or about you when you're not around. That's a massive thing to do. So I want to dive just a little further in since you went through that and you guys have obviously turned it around and the culture is award-winning now, as you say, right? So can you give us just maybe one or two things that you as a school or as a district, as a school, however you did as a school, what you guys really focused on and what you really put in place that you think were maybe some of the foundational blocks that really helped you turn that around?
Yeah, I mean, I think it starts with having some sort of regular, consistent social-emotional learning piece. We added an advisory where every Friday students are actively strengthening their character and, you know, focusing on relationship skills and social skills and all kinds of things. And then not making that a standalone program that's just 30 minutes on a Friday. So it really became a part of everything that we did. And so we use a program now called Character Strong, which is rooted in like a servant leadership model. And it's kind of focused on kindness, service, and empathy. And so that what we did that I think really changed the game was we started taking the lessons that kids were learning about and applying those in experiential ways around the school. So for instance, every morning we start Enterprise Middle School by having students and staff greet everybody that walks in the front of the school with high fives and fist bumps and smiles and music. And it's just this amazing celebration to the start of the day. Now, I know there's a lot of schools that do cool things like that on a Monday or a Friday, but we do it when it's snowing, when it's raining, every single day we're greeting students. And so, you know, we talked earlier about flipping a kid's day. It is so amazing to watch a kid walk up to the school. Maybe, you know, they're kind of in their own head or own space of whatever they're dealing with. And all of a sudden they just, you know, light up because they know they're about to see this person that greets them every day by name. And maybe you have a unique, you know, fist bump or handshake you do. Those kind of little moments can set a kid off, you know, on the right foot. So that's been huge. I'll give you another example of something we do. It's called the Golden Broom. And it's basically a demonstration of service to those who serve us. And so it's a way to basically honor people that don't always get honored. So people like our custodians and our cafeteria lunch ladies and our secretaries and paraprofessionals, even our bus drivers. And so we basically overwhelm these people with love. And so we'll take, you know, a group of students, maybe 20, 25 students, and present them, you know, some, you know, individually chosen snacks and goodies and things like that. Sometimes we'll even offer to do their job or whatever they do for 30 minutes and give them a break. We'll have students that, you know, deliver like a speech, you know, to them, like kind of like a meaningful, heartfelt, like, this is why you matter to us. And then we take videos and pictures and put it all on social media. So everybody in the school and in the community can experience that moment.
I love that golden broom. That is awesome. It's right? So important. And I want to make sure everyone listened really closely when you were talking about the greeting of the students at the door. And I think a huge piece is that you do it no matter what.
Exactly. So
it's not just when it's snow or not when just when it's sunny and nice. It's when it's snowy, when it's rainy, when it's yucky out, when you don't feel necessarily great. Because like we touched on a few times, that little flip that you can do and you can flip someone's day with such a little thing. If that's the thing that that student is looking forward to every day when they're coming from who knows what they're coming from, you have to do it every day or else you're going to lose that culture. And that culture has to be consistent like that. I love it, man. I'm loving this, Ray.
No, he's amazing. But the problem is that there's so many excuses that teachers, administrators, I mean, just all of our to not do this. And that's what I have loved about your story is that you can put all the hurdles in front of you and you can talk about all the reasons that you can't make this happen every day or that there's scheduling conflicts that prohibit this type of action. But the reality is that you either care enough to make it a priority and make it work or you don't. And I want to challenge our listeners today to not only take in this story of how amazing this school has chosen, actively made a choice to transform what they're doing, but, you know, what step are you allowing to not happen right now because you feel like you have a hurdle in front of you that you haven't overcome, because the reality is that we need to. And Hans, I've loved every moment of this so far. Thank you for going through all of that with us. That's so important.
Ray, can I interrupt for a second? Please. Can we do something cool?
Go for it.
Hans, do you have a hashtag that you guys use for your school or anything?
I should
know this, but I don't.
Yeah, we're Wildcat Nation. That's kind of our school hashtag.
Hashtag Wildcat Nation.
Yep.
All right. So anyone who's listening, I want you to go off of what Ray just went through, and I want you to tweet out and hashtag Wildcat Nation and hashtag Teach Better. And I want you to share, like Ray was saying, what's one excuse that you're not going to allow to stop you from doing these things. I want to see if our listeners come through for that. So Hans, be watching out for that. So
that's
you can
awesome.
Join in, and then we're all going to hold them accountable, and we want to see them step up to it. So I'm sorry, Ray. I just saw that, and I'm like, we got to push this out because I'm like jacked up over here. So
no, I love it. This podcast is more than entertainment while you're sitting in your car laughing at Jeff Gargis. Okay, this has to be a active decision to grow and be better. That's what Teach Better Talk's all about. So I couldn't love that more. Hans, the next question I was going to ask you leads us into what's exciting you about education. So I know you've talked a lot about SEL and all the decisions that your building has made, your inspirational stories. What's fueling your fire? What's keeping you going? How can we encourage not just this change in education, but ensure that people feel the need, the drive to make this happen?
Well, one thing that I'm really passionate about right now is amplifying student voice, and specifically amplifying it through authentic audience. So, we had, let's see, it's about a little over a year and a half ago, my wife and I had an opportunity to go to a service leadership conference in Kent, Washington, which is like a 4-hour drive from where we are. And there's probably 5,000 students and educators around the state. And we're listening to speakers and authors and athletes. And it's just this incredible 8-hour event. And we're maybe 3/4 of the way through this thing. And we're listening to a 95-year-old Holocaust survivor. and she's speaking in broken English, and she's up in a wheelchair up on the stage in front of like 5,000 kids, basically. And you guys, you could literally hear a pin drop. Like, there was not a sound. People were just mesmerized by the speaker. I mean, such powerful moments that she's sharing about being this survivor. And you look around and you see kids that are kind of sitting forward and, you know, jaws drop. You see educators that are in tears, that are just moved. And I'm sitting, and right to the right of me is my wife. And we're with maybe 25 leadership students from Enterprise. And I kind of lean over to her and I'm like, we've got to do this. And she kind of gives me that, you know, weird look like wives do. And she's like, what? And I was like, we've got to do something like this. And so at the next break, the idea became, how can we, you know, surround our kids with exceptional people like her and him and that person that was moving everybody to a standing ovation, all of these moments that we're experiencing during this event. How can we recreate this? Because the reality is we had another 750, 800 kids back at Enterprise that weren't experiencing this moment. And so we really began, you know, kind of exploring, how do we create a student-led leadership podcast where we could have our students interviewing leadership experts around the world, sharing their connections to the stories and, you know, what they were taking away from it, and then putting it out to people so that not only the students, the podcasters could experience it, but our entire community could. And the more we started talking about it and thinking it through, the more we realized if we build this right, there's going to be more people than just our community that are going to want to hear these episodes and these messages. And so we spent about the next 6 months, I would say probably between March, maybe through August, teaching ourselves how to podcast. We knew nothing about podcasting other than just the fact that we listened to some. You know, we didn't have equipment. We didn't have any idea. We didn't even know if students could do something like this. Like, we didn't know what it was going to look like at all. So we just basically taught ourselves how to put this all together. And then we rolled it out in August, and it's been just a huge success.
Wow, I think that's so cool. I'm going to need to go subscribe to that ASAP. That's incredible.
Yeah, it's
so
called... Oh, go ahead.
No, please, please.
Oh, I was just going to say, it's called Award-Winning Culture. And I think we've recorded about 35 episodes. We've put out, I want to say, around 24, 25. And we've got about 12 students involved with it right now. And then... actually, this coming Saturday, we're going to be doing AWC retreat, and we're going to be bringing in another group of students. So our hope is to get to about 25 students by next August that are trained up. And so the 12 that have been with us kind of working hard on it this year are going to be training the other 12 or 13 that come in this coming Saturday, and then they'll be able to all hit the ground running podcasting for next year.
So Hans, I'm sure you know this already, but for our listeners who may not, you know, podcasts are really exploding in education right now. And the way that you find podcasts more easily, the way that you reach a larger audience is by our listeners going and subscribing and doing a rate and like rating it, hopefully 5 stars, and reviewing the podcast. And so while we obviously always encourage you guys to do that for Teach Better Talk, you have to go do that for these students' podcasts, because that's how they can really amplify their voice, not just by putting out a podcast, but by audience members, listeners like all of us, going to that podcast, searching it, subscribing, and, you know, giving them a rating and review so they can reach a larger audience. So I would really encourage all of you right now, even if it means pausing this podcast for just a moment, to go do that so you don't forget, because that is a huge piece of it amplifying, right?
Oh, I appreciate that shout out. Absolutely. Yeah. And I think it's been really just powerful for our kids to realize how powerful their voices are. You know, I think at first it was kind of like, oh yeah, my friends and family are listening. And, you know, as this year has kind of grown and we've gotten, you know, a lot of people that have subscribed or like you said, given, you know, ratings and reviews, it's like they're being graded on their podcast, you know, by how people respond to it. You know, it's not associated with a class. It's almost like a genius hour or passion project extension off of leadership. And so the way that they feel like they're getting a grade is, you know, how do people respond? You know, is, do they get a lot of downloads? Do they get, you know, people that, you know, share comments? Do they, you know, all that kind of stuff plays into how they feel about, you know, their performance in that particular episode.
So in one podcast, Hans, our listeners can change the lives of the students in their school building and choose to positively impact your kids right this moment. That is very cool.
It's awesome.
So
yeah, we're having a blast.
Tell me, you have a ton of listeners listening right now, and they are so inspired, I'm sure, by your story. So what advice do we need to give teachers, any teacher, that really wants to support this movement of not just reaching our students more deeply, but even if you go the tech route of starting a podcast, what advice do our teachers need?
I think it's really about being a lifelong learner. I think, you know, I hear that a lot, you know, especially early on in education, but I feel like there's not always a lot of people that are living that. And I think, you know, we can all sort of get complacent at times. And I think reminding ourselves that one of the best things we can do as far as modeling for students is, you know, hey, I don't know how to do this, but I'm going to figure it out. You know, this is something that I'm interested in. Let's figure it out together. And that's kind of how we went about podcasting. You know, there wasn't this big, you know, teaching moment, and we didn't spend all this time like training them. We just sort of, you know, got a group together and dove in and said, you know what? We as the adults, and I say we, my wife and I, because she's a leadership teacher and heavily involved with this project, you know, we're just going to jump in and we're going to make mistakes and it's going to be okay. And I think, you know, embracing that risk taking has been huge. And they've seen us have to struggle, I would say, as learners all the way through, you know, from the technology side of it to, okay, how are we going to figure out how to do this and that. So it's been super powerful, I think, for them, and a reminder to us that, hey, we have to be lifelong learners in this field.
You know, Hans, I have watched, it's been very powerful for me to watch Ray struggle through this entire thing as we've done this podcast too. It's
guys are really mean.
I mean, this is episode 73 and there's still a lot of struggling going on, and you know, it's every day she's learning though. I'm proud.
I'll remember this, Jeff. I'll remember this right now. I got you later. Don't you worry.
Fortunately, about it. I've got like 2 weeks before I see her in person again, so hopefully she'll cool down by then. No, this has been like, I'm loving every second of this. I'm already thinking about how we need to bring some of your podcasts and students onto our podcast and talk about that. But that's in the conversation for later. Just wanted to give a little tease for the listeners. Right now, though, I want to see what you got, what you're made of. So we're gonna do the next 6 questions. You got 15 seconds or less for each to answer them.
I'm ready. Let's bring it. Yep.
All right. What is one ed tech tool you cannot live without?
Twitter. It's changed my life.
Awesome. Give us a book that you're reading right now.
Two. I'm actually rereading two. Dare to Lead by Brené Brown and Lens of Serendipity by Allison Apsey.
Ooh, both great books. I'm going to make you work on this one because I know you got a few. But I want you to tell us, who do we need to follow on Twitter today, and give me two.
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 All right. I've got John Norlin. He's phenomenal. And I'm going to say David Guerin.
Good stuff. Give us the best YouTube channel or website for educators.
I'm loving Michael Matera's YouTube channel. He does a lot of stuff on gamification.
How can you not love Michael's? How can you not love that YouTube channel? That's a great one. Give us a daily, weekly, or monthly routine every teacher should get into.
I don't know about every teacher, but I love taking my awesome dog Maya for a 3-mile walk every morning. That's how I start my day.
So everyone needs to go and move closer to Hans so you can take his dog for a walk every morning.
She would love that.
So you do that every single morning. That's how you start it?
Absolutely.
So I'm going to get my stuff right now.
I think we can flip that to find something that gets you feeling good in the morning and do that, or go get yourself an awesome dog and do that. So that's awesome. All right, finally, give us the best piece of advice you've ever received.
Yeah, my first year as a counselor, I had a vice principal at the time, Dan Easton, love Dan, said there's really never a point where you're completely caught up. So you got to give yourself permission to be done for the day and come back fresh tomorrow.
That is one of the hardest pieces of advice I've ever not taken. I struggle with that so much, but it's such an important piece of advice. I mean, it's crucial. When I do put it in place, and it usually lasts like a week, and then I fall off the horse again or whatever, it's awesome. So great piece of advice. I think you nailed that. You did awesome. I threw you off with a bunch of my silly comments in there, but I think you rocked it out, Ray. What are you thinking?
I think so too. Hans, this episode has been honestly one of my favorites. I say that very rarely. I've said it before, but I really, really, really mean it this time. I really appreciate all that you've shared. This has been awesome.
I appreciate that. I do feel like you say that every time, but I'll take it.
I don't.
I'll take it in.
she says it every time.
Rude, you guys suck. Anyway, I have the most important question, and I do say that every single time. And our listeners can connect with you, Hans, because whether I am a broken record or not, there's still a ton of value in the episode, and I want our listeners to connect with you. So would you mind sharing out the best way to do that?
Yeah, I mean, I think Twitter is probably the best way to get me. It's HansApple094, so HansApple094. We also have our award-winning culture website where we keep all of our blogs. We're writing a lot, and our podcast. So those are great places to get us.
And you know, you can find all the links and everything we talked about in this episode over at teachbetter.com in the show notes, as well as the really important links to connect with Hans and everything that they've got going on. So make sure you head over to teachbetter.com for all of that. Make sure you hit subscribe so you don't miss any of the upcoming episodes. And if you can give us a rating and review, like Ray mentioned earlier, that really helps out, really helps amplify these amazing stories that we have on here. So we'd really appreciate that. And let's take it one step further. Think of just three of your colleagues who need to hear these stories and share this podcast with them. Spread the word, spread the love. Hans, man, it's been just an awesome episode. Seriously, I know I was giving Ray a hard time there, but this seriously has been a great episode. One that I think we will have lots of listeners who listen back through it multiple times. Some really cool stuff, an awesome challenge in the middle. And I think there's going to kind of create some awesome tweets for us to take a look at. But we really appreciate you taking some time hanging out with us tonight. We're super excited to hang out with you in November at the Teach Better Conference. And for those who are still listening to the episode, if you use the code PODCASTTALK, you can take $50 off your registration and make sure you come out and hang out with Hans at the conference. Man, we really appreciate it, you taking the time and just hanging out with us, man.
Hey, thank you for the opportunity. And I can't wait to see you guys in November. It's going to be a blast.
And until next time, let's get out there and let's teach better.
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 73 of Teach Better Talk. I'm Ray Hewart, and as always, I'm with the I can't even say it. I got too nervous.
Do it again.
This is going to be five takes in. Hey everyone, welcome to episode 73 of Teach Better Talk. I'm Ray Hewart, and as always, I am with the indefatigable Jeff Gargis. I can't say it. It's not going to work.
Try it again. You had it there. Just say it faster. Like, not like a robot. I was losing it the whole time on this end.